You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, boy. That was a smooth transition right there from It's Only an Hour to the award-winning midday program. What's going on, brother?
Not a lot. Apologies for being a few minutes late. I am learning that scheduling interviews at 11:30 is something that depends on everybody being on time. And when people aren't on time, I'm late to the show. So I'm going to start scheduling things at 11:20 at the absolute latest.
Can I ask who showed up late today?
He's actually a buddy. I think you've met him before. Zach Moore is his name. He used to be a certified NFL agent, NFL caponomics expert. And now he does a bunch of different things. He's a published author. He is a private jiu-jitsu instructor. And he is one of the main security guys at Rogan's Comedy Club. So we talked about all that stuff and got into why the career change or the career pivot, I should say, from NFL agent to all these different things. It's really interesting. So you can stay tuned for that on the podcast, booksonpod.com.
Very nice. Yeah, good dude. I remember Zach. I think we had him in studio at least once back during the old midday show days. So
really good dude. Exactly. Yep.
Very nice. All right. Good to hear. Good to hear. I'm going to start with a question for you today, Trey.
Let's go. Well, first of all, how are you doing today?
Good. Good, good. Started the packing process. I am flying up to the Pacific Northwest.
That's right.
At 5 o'clock this afternoon. So started packing and... It's very cold up there, cold and rainy. I guess that's the norm for the Pacific Northwest at this time of the year. So packing a lot of clothes, a lot of layers, things that I haven't needed around here in a while. But no, it's good, man. It's good. Nothing, no major stories, unfortunately, to report on today. Nothing super eventful that has happened in my life over the last 24 hours. I regret to inform you and the people. Sucks.
And remind me, I am covering the, you are not going to be on the midday show tomorrow, correct? And then we're all off on Friday.
Right. Yes. Yes. Everyone off for Good Friday on Friday. And thank you in advance for holding it down tomorrow from 12 to 1.
So Kraken game, Canucks game, anything else planned? Some hiking perhaps?
Yeah, I don't know. I was talking to my sister yesterday, and there are a couple of places that her and her husband have marked down for us to go. Some markets, some hikes, some parks. So it's all kind of weather permitting. I mean, you just kind of have to deal with the rain up there. So got a rain jacket, and that'll be enough. Apparently, you're a huge bitch if you have an umbrella in that part of the world. Like, that's frowned upon. You just tough it out with a rain jacket. Maybe poncho is okay. But that's how it works. So as long as the rain's not too horrendous, we can do some outside stuff. But the big purpose is the two hockey games.
Poncho is a type of rain jacket. Let's not go tacos as a sandwich with the poncho versus rain jacket bit here. Poncho works just fine as something that keeps you moderately protected from the conditions.
God, you look so dumb wearing a poncho. And it's not you in particular, it's just people in general. Like, you look ridiculous. It helps, and if you're wearing it, you don't care about how you look, you care about staying dry. But shit, like, that's, I don't know, man, I don't want to be seen in public with a giant trash bag surrounding my body. It feels ridiculous.
What about a giant trash bag that has a bunch of Longhorns all over it that you bought for like $80 at DKR a day it's supposed to rain?
Yeah, even worse, right? Like, if you're getting one of those disposable ones that cost like a dollar or two, then I guess you can stomach it. But if you're paying for one of those $50 to $80 ones, God, I hope you're kidding, but in this economy and with how much stadiums charge for shit nowadays, I'm not sure that you are. If you're paying anything more than like $10 for a poncho, I think you're doing it wrong.
It's only a slight exaggeration. DJ says, umbrella no, heroin yes. Yeah, that is the unofficial slogan of Seattle in 2024.
I'm really excited for that part. Like, I hope you guys aren't lying to me, because all the people I've talked to about Seattle, because I've never been before, this would be my first time there. Everyone I've talked to is like, dude, drugs everywhere. Just watch out. Be careful. And I'm going to be disappointed if I don't get free drugs. So like, hey, you guys are saying that as a negative thing. I'm like, whoa, hold on. I don't have to pay for it. It's just there. I don't even have to find it. It's going to find me. That's what I need out there. So I hope you and the people are right here.
So going, I have not been to Seattle in forever before this became a serious issue, but Portland and Seattle are sister cities in a lot of ways, and visiting Portland briefly last summer with my family, yeah, it was fucking disgusting. So have fun with those free drugs. Good luck with the fentanylate stuff.
Yeah, flying into Portland, but we'll be spending almost zero time there. So
are you basically flying in, driving over the river to Washington and heading straight up to Seattle?
So it's, so my sister and my brother-in-law live in Corvallis, which is like 2 hours away from PDX, the airport up there.
Underrated city, way better than Eugene, by the way. I know you and I have talked about that before. Yeah. Every chance I get to tell people that, I need to tell them. Corvallis, you think it's a shit-kicking town? It may have a little bit of that too. Way cooler of a city than that shithole Eugene.
Yeah, Corvallis is cool. Not a ton to do. Not a lot of great restaurants, but like it's fun. It's nice. Beautiful. But yeah, so fly to Portland, take the bus. I'll probably get there around 12 specific time and sleep there, do the show with Bucky from 6 to 8 that time. And then the Vancouver game is first. So the Stars Canucks game is tomorrow. So we're driving. It's about 6 hours. So we'll leave like right at 8 left coast time, go to Vancouver, put our stuff in our Airbnb, hopefully have time for dinner before the game, but then go to the game. And then the Seattle game is Saturday. So we'll do tomorrow night and Friday night in Vancouver.
Oh, cool.
Drive to Seattle. Seattle and Vancouver are like an hour and a half away. So easy trip. And then spend the day in Seattle and then game. And then I fly back from Seattle Sunday morning.
I've only heard great things about Vancouver. So I'm guessing y'all are going to have a great time. And don't know if this is on the agenda just yet, but you know what's legal in Vancouver other than those drugs? Prostitution. So,
oh, yes.
That's right. Sure. Less strings than what you're used to in hooking up here in Austin.
Nice. Sharing an Airbnb with my sister and brother-in-law is going to be a lot of fun for them. That is great.
As long as y'all aren't sleeping in the same bed, there will at least be a wall and door separating you.
They have to be clean, right? Those are the rules?
Sure.
maybe not the rules? Thought that was the bit, you know? If it's legal, you've got to test to make sure that, yeah, you still double wrap to be safe, I'm sure.
I think it just simplifies the transaction process. Yes, you want to still take the necessary precautions on your end.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. And is there a max? It's just like as many as you want kind of deal?
As many times as you can go, I guess. CB is an hour outside of Seattle and 4 hours from Vancouver. Are you going to stop and visit CB on the show?
Sure. I've never seen CB. No one's ever seen CB in person. I've only heard CB's voice one time. It was on a Twitter Spaces during COVID that I was doing. And he like requested to speak, which I guess is a feature. I don't know if people still use Twitter Spaces, but you know, like request to speak. And I'm like, oh, this has to be a glitch. Something is wrong with the robot that is CB. And then I'm like, all right, I think we've got CB on. And he started talking. I was like, holy shit, this is a top 10 moment in my radio career right now.
It is also a seminal moment in AI and its ability to create human voices, because apparently it fooled you into thinking CB is actually a human. When he moved up to Seattle with his family, I said, CB, what do we have to do to get you in studio? You can hang out all day. We all owe you a debt of gratitude. We want to meet you in person and give you a hug, a shake of the hands. And he refused.
Mm.
Has me back on the CB is a computer program conspiracy.
Not a real person. Yeah, he's trying to stay hidden. He's one of those machines that's going to go to war against us here in a couple of years.
It was an accident that he hit request.
Well, too bad, CB. I heard it. And maybe the 10 other people in there heard it as well.
What did he say?
Can't even remember. I was too. It's one of those, like you hear someone's voice and it's like, holy shit, this is the person I'm talking to right now. You just can't even focus on what is actually being said.
What's it like experiencing human emotion?
Now, I don't think that was said. The voice isn't too far off, though.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't even know. I wouldn't have been able to tell you 5 minutes after the conversation. No way in hell, like 4 years after the conversation, I'd be able to let you know what it was, but it wasn't as robotic as that. Okay. Close though. Close though. Yeah, shoot. CB, I'll find you. Or you gotta find me, I guess. We'll make it happen. All right. Question. This was tweeted by us at Texas Sports Unfiltered, actually at TS Unfiltered. But if you search Texas Sports Unfiltered, you're going to get there the same way. I'm giving you $100, Trey. And I trust you on this because I gave you $100 around this time last year. And you put $100 on the Texas Rangers to win the World Series. And it worked. So you've got a knack for futures bets. And I'm asking you today, on March 27th, 20 and 24, if you were given $100 to put on one of these three Texas football lines for the 2024 season, which would you pick? And I'll read them out for the folks listening on the app. Texas is a 2.5-point favorite at Michigan in week two. Texas is a 9.5-point favorite against Oklahoma in Dallas midway through October. And, of course, the week after that, Texas is a 1.5-point underdog. I assume it's the only game Texas will be an underdog in this season. Texas, a 1.5-point dog at home against Georgia. I'm giving you $100 to put on any of these three Texas games. What are you betting on?
This is a no-brainer. Texas is going to kick the shit out of Michigan. They're going to win the game by double digits. So, yeah, that's the easy money pick for me.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
Why do you feel so good about it?
Because Michigan has to reload at a lot of important positions, as well as that head coach spot. And there's a lot of uncertainty as to what that's going to look like right now. And Texas returns a lot of important pieces. Yeah, they have to replace some guys, but you feel really good about the depth right now. And just in terms of where each program is going to be 2 weeks into the college season, Texas is leaps and bounds ahead of where the Wolverines are right now. Even though Michigan did just win that national championship, this is going to be a very different looking program 2 weeks into the college football season. Will they eventually be able to find their footing and compete for a Big Ten title? Maybe. I don't know just yet. I wouldn't put money on that necessarily, but I know that they are going to be still be finding themselves 2 weeks in, even though that game is at the Big House.
Yeah, I think if we posted this as a poll, most Texas fans would agree with you, right? Like that would be, I don't know if overwhelming is the right word, but that would be the strong answer from our listeners and viewers and followers. And I think you laid it out perfectly, like new coach, new quarterback, new running back, new receivers. All five offensive linemen are gone from Michigan. That defense loses some key pieces too. I think most importantly, they lose Connor Stallions. So, yeah, I think Michigan's going to have some issues. Hell, I wish that game was week one. Most people, and in most years, I like the week one tune-up game. Like, all right, you figure out what you got. You can learn some things about your team before you got to go into a hostile environment and play a team like Michigan. But I think the earlier you get Michigan, the better. So the fact that this is in week two, with everything that Texas has coming back, like 14 starters and the coach, and considering how much Michigan has to replace, including a quarterback and coach, yeah, I feel I tend to agree with you. Like, as of right now, I think Texas wins that game, and I think they win it by double digits. And that's what they did at Alabama last year. And I think 2024 Michigan has a lot more questions than 2023 Alabama did. And I know people tried to bury the Crimson Tide after that game and say, oh, they ain't shit. This is a down year for Bama. It's not even a good win for Texas. Well, they figured it out and went 11-1 and made the college football playoff. Hell, 12-1 and made the CFP. I don't think Michigan's going to have a year like that because I don't think they have the team that Alabama just had. And they sure as hell don't have the coach that Alabama just had. So I tend to agree with you there. I will say, though, if I could make one bet on this, just total, I it would not be Texas minus 2.5 at Michigan.
Which one would it be?
It'd be Oklahoma plus 9.5 against Texas. That's like that line is just too big in that game. That's what it is. Like I feel good about Texas bouncing back and beating Oklahoma this year, but that line
you would take Oklahoma in that game. I see. Yeah, that's a good way to go with that one. Yeah,
yeah. I got to pick Texas to win, but 9.5 points. I mean, we saw it a lot last decade when OU was clearly better than Texas, and I think right now Texas is clearly better than OU. Texas was able to cover. Hell, they were able to win outright when you had double digit lines or lines right around 10 or more. That for that game. That's a throw out the record, throw out the stats, throw out everything when those two teams take the field at the Cotton Bowl. I see 9.5 either way, Trey, and I'm calling the cousin and taking the dog.
I don't know what Oklahoma's going to look like next year, because some years, especially those years where Texas is significantly better than Oklahoma, you will see a beatdown ensue. And so if Venables is starting to lose control of the program by that point, and I don't recall what the schedule looks like for them up to that Texas OU game, then we could see things come completely unraveled as a result of them facing a second beatdown in 3 years at the hands of the Longhorns in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw it right 2 years ago, 49-0, and Oklahoma's got some questions too. I don't know if Oklahoma fans are sold on Brent Venables. I know I'm not sold on Brent Venables yet. I mean, an impressive year two, obviously a big step from year one up there in Norman, and beating Texas is huge for them every year. But like that, they had about as easy of a schedule as you could possibly have, and to not even make it to the Big 12 championship game has to feel like a little bit of a disappointment. And Oklahoma's schedule is very tough. I'm with you. I don't know what they have before Texas, but I know in SEC play, I mean, they play everybody good except for Georgia. Like, yeah, they've got Bama, they've got LSU, they got Tennessee, they got Ole Miss, they got Mizzou. Like, it feels like every other contending team in that conference is on Oklahoma's schedule. So, I mean, they're Vegas over under 7.5 right now. Like, if they go under that, I don't think Venables will lose his job after year three. But going into year four, they could be on the hot seat. Or if they go 9-3 or 10-2, then you're like, all right, shit, Oklahoma's back to what they've kind of been for the last two decades now.
Now, they do catch a little bit of a break before Texas. Their schedule looks like this: Temple, Houston Cougars, Tulane, Tennessee in Norman, at Auburn, and then they have an off week before the Longhorns. So the difficult part of that schedule, really, I mean, it begins with Tennessee, but it really starts with Texas and then continues forward after that. It's Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, the Maine Black Bears. Jesus, I guess you guys are really conforming to the SEC way. At Missouri, Alabama, at LSU, and then the SEC championship game, which they will not be a part of.
No. Yeah, it's a tough slate for them. So, I don't know. Like, that's... I don't like betting against Texas. Hell, I don't like betting on Texas, but looking at these three, I mean, I have no feel, and obviously we'll know way more about both Texas and Georgia by the time we get to October 19th. I think that's the date of that game here in Austin. I'm going to be scared to bet that game either way, regardless of how the teams look, but I sure as hell am not touching that game right now.
I broke my rule and bet on Texas through you when you were in Vegas last week. You asked if you wanted me to put, or if I wanted you to put any money on anything. I'm like, yeah, let's put 100 on Texas and 100 on that Kentucky game to cover the over. And you're like, you want separate bets or parlay? You told me what the parlay payout is. I'm like, all right, let's do that. Screw it. Figure that I would just lose the Texas bet. No, the Texas bet hit. Stupid Kentucky Wildcats who, yeah, good luck keeping Cal for another year, guys. Just another season of disappointment in March. They fell like a handful of points short in that game because despite the fact that they've been boat racing people all year long, they did what Coach Cal teams really have over the last five or so years now, and that's completely choke come tourney time.
Yeah, yeah, you were right. You had Texas against Colorado State in that ugly round one win, but yeah, you had to over. At least you didn't bet on Kentucky outright. I know a lot of folks lost their parlays because they just had Kentucky money line as like a throw, and God, we don't have to worry about Oakland. That's in Michigan. What the fuck is that? Like, that should have been easy. You at least had the over, and it was close. I think it missed by 3 points. But yeah, Coach Cal returning to Kentucky, as much as Kentucky fans hate to hear it. In Kentucky Sports Radio, I've checked in a couple of times. It's been fun to listen to over the last few days. Like,
I bet.
The sky is, forget falling, it is fallen in Lexington right now. So, there you go. We'll take your thoughts. If you were given $100, you could bet on one of these three Texas games. Which one would you take? Texas, a 2.5-point favorite at Michigan, a 9.5-point favorite against Oklahoma, and a 1.5-point dog, a home dog, against the Dogs of UGA. All right. Before we shift gears here, we've got some Cowboys stuff to get into. This potential spam calls me for the 14th time today. Also, a 7-round mock draft from Matt Miller we can discuss. Trey, you up to do the honors first with a big hat live read today?
Yes, Big Hat Spirits. That is the company. BigHatSpirits.com. If I can type it in as I talk, that is the website. They did not create the cocktail in a can, but they have made it better than anybody else as a result of them using real ingredients, real alcohol, real kombucha, while being low in BS. That means no added sugars. And as you see, if you are watching on YouTube right now, they don't have any syrups. They're non-gluten, non-GMO, BPA-free, 100% natural, real spirits with great flavors like that prickly pear Paloma, blackberry smoke, the Texas Mule. Look at that one right there. The ranch water on the left, the jalapeno ranch water. If you want a little spice, the margarita. And for you non-alcohol fans, the mojito mocktail and the margarita mocktail. Go to BigHatSpirits.com for a number of different reasons to find out more info for one. But maybe the most important is to find where you can get Big Hat Spirits, Big Hat Cocktails in a Can closest to you. There's a map of Texas just below the top of the webpage there. Logos for Big Hat all over that map. Click the logo closest to you, and that's where you can find those Big Hat Spirits cocktails in a can.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to Big Hat. Now, a word from our great friends out at Covert Bee Cave.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert Bee Cave.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have three service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Absolutely. Love the Covert family. Love the Covert Auto Group. Definitely go check out Covert Bee Cave if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. Also, some love to Olipop as well. Had the orange squeeze Olipop this morning. Really good. First time I'd ever had that flavor. Tastes kind of like a Sunkist, like an orange Fanta. Big fan of orange soda. And the orange squeeze is very, very good. Also, a lot of vitamin C in there. About 160% of my daily value of vitamin C in that can of Olipop. It's good stuff. Plus the fiber, plus the other great ingredients that support digestive health. Get you some Olipop. They've got tons of great flavors. If orange isn't your jam, they've got tons to choose from. H-E-B, Costco, Target, Walmart, Whole Foods, wherever you buy your groceries. Even if I can't think of more than one grocery store, they're going to have it at the grocery store that you like to go to. Get you some of that Olipop. All right, Trey, we've got a 7-round mock draft. We're going to go 1 to 256. Talk about all the picks. No, we're not doing that. But we do have a lot of love for the Longhorns in the 7-round mock draft from Matt Miller of ESPN.
Shouldn't be surprising because Texas is going to have a bunch of guys drafted, but Matt Miller is also shameless in his love for Texas Longhorn football. So kudos to that.
He's got 9 Longhorns getting drafted. And I think we could see anywhere from 8 to 11. Realistically, 8 to 9, but you had 11 guys at the combine, so that kind of feels like the max number of Texas players who will hear their name called next month. I think 8 guys are locks, and then 9, 10, and 11, that's like Jordan Whittington, Keelan Robinson, and Ryan Watts. Those guys are 6th, 7th UDFA type of guys, and it's a total crapshoot with that. So he's got Jordan Whittington getting drafted. We'll mention that right now. He's got Whittington going in the 7th round, pick 240 overall to Carolina. So no Ryan Watts, no Keelan Robinson in the 7-round mock for Jay Witt, but we don't get a description or anything for why Witt is going to the Panthers that late. That's just the pick that Matt Miller has at 240 overall. And as cool as it would be for Jay Witt to get drafted, Trey, don't you kind of hate that? Like, I'd rather Whittington be able to go pick his team, and I feel like you'd rather be anywhere else than Carolina right now.
I hope Jordan Whittington doesn't get drafted if the options are Carolina or getting to pick his team in a situation. Then again, Carolina is devoid of talent, so maybe it makes it easier for him to make an NFL roster.
It's true. Yeah, that's the double-edged sword, I guess. But now we'll go to the top. Byron Murphy, no surprise, the first Longhorn off the board, 15 overall to the Colts. Be a good fit, helping the interior of that Colts defense. A.D. Mitchell, 28 to Buffalo. You're starting to see this more and more. Xavier Worthy's going 32 to the Chiefs. It feels like every mock drafter and their mother has that pick right now. But Trey, at least for me, I'm seeing way more Adonai Mitchell to Buffalo, and that would be a fun pairing.
Yeah, they've got to replace some wide receivers, starting with Gabe Davis. You just wonder what the long-term future is for Stephon Diggs in Buffalo, too. It is feeling like he's starting to wear his welcome out, and Adonai Mitchell would be a nice stopgap or help bridge that gap and turn into a potential number one wideout at that next level with Josh Allen as his quarterback.
Yeah, that's similar to what Matt Miller had to say in his description, just saying the Bills lost Gabe Davis because he was a free agent, and Adonai Mitchell's got that vertical threat speed and consistent hands that would make him a great partner for Stephon Diggs and a great fit for Josh Allen and that Buffalo offense. Of course, Xavier Worthy, once again, going 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs, giving KC that deep ball threat right there. And we go to day two. I'm going to go over-under with you, Trey. You okay with that?
Sure.
DeAndre Sweat, 54 to the Cleveland Browns.
What is over 54? Is that the back end of the second round?
Yeah. Yeah, because 64 would be the last pick of the second round. So that's just past the midway point of round two for T. Sweat.
I think he goes in the third round. So whatever the over or the under is. Over 54?
Oh. Yeah, shit. That's weird with the draft because over would be a higher over, number.
Like you look at how drafts are listed, the over is like higher and like better in the draft, but over is also the high. Yeah, you just broke my brain. So no more over-unders, please.
Okay, so you think T-Sweat goes in the third round?
I think he goes in the third round, yeah. I think he does drop to the third round. I think there are some questions being asked about him right now as an every-down player. And when you have those questions, even if he is a guy who is insanely productive in those first couple of downs, I think that does drop a guy's draft stock.
Yeah, here's the quick description from Matt Miller. Said, adding a space-eating defensive tackle for Jim Schwartz's scheme may not seem like a need, but my goodness, would this cause problems for offenses? How do you give Myles Garrett double-team attention when a 366-pound Outland Award-winning nose tackle is crashing the pocket? Trading for Jerry Jeudy and signing linebackers Devin Bush and Jordan Hicks frees the Browns up to add a big nose tackle here. Yeah, it'd be a fun defensive line with the Aggie, Myles Garrett, and DeAndre Sweat both together up front in Cleveland. I'm right around that ballpark for T. Sweat. I think he's going to go in the 50s, kind of copping out here, but I think he does end up going in round two, back half of round two. So I think Miller's just about right here. What about this one?
Is that the Browns' first draft pick? I'm looking right now in the first round and not seeing them. So that may very well be their first draft pick that they make.
I think so, because the Texans had their first round pick because of the Deshaun Watson trade. Houston just traded that to Minnesota last week. So, yeah, Cleveland's pick is with Minnesota now, I think. And, yeah, so I guess that's Cleveland's first pick of this draft. How about this? Two picks later, Jonathan Brooks to the Cowboys.
This one makes a lot of sense.
56 overall. Brooks, yeah, fire away.
Makes a lot of sense because Jonathan Brooks, the team doctor for the Cowboys, performed his ACL surgery. So Dallas knows exactly what they're getting with him health-wise. And I think it just makes sense as a feel-good story, too, drafting a Texas kid to a team that has a need at running back right now. I hope if this happens, that Jonathan Brooks is ready to go for training camp, like what we've been told this entire time, and that he's able to get up to the speed of the game at the NFL level pretty quickly because they're are going to be some carries there for him to have the opportunity to really take it and run with it, pun intended.
Yeah, he had a top 30 visit with the Cowboys during the pre-draft process. He confirmed that at the Texas Pro Day last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever that was, last week, I think. And, yeah, I mean, look, it's Jonathan Brooks is expected to be cleared this summer, which means, hypothetically, if all goes according to plan, he will be ready to go by the start of training camp. I just get a little worried about this pick because the Cowboys are seemingly in a win-now mode because they've got a lame duck head coach, and apparently they're going to have a lame duck quarterback now based on some reports yesterday. We can get into that here in a moment. But you would think they'd be trying to get guys who can assuredly help them win this year. And I think Jonathan Brooks is going to have a very good NFL career. I just don't know if he's going to be ready to hit the ground running, pun intended, in year one after major knee surgery. Like that's a bit, if that is the plan, for a guy coming off an ACL to be your number one running back in a year where you're trying to compete for a Super Bowl, it's a little scary for me. So maybe it's not scary for the Cowboys, but it's injured Jonathan Brooks and Rico Dowdle as your running back room. I don't know how that is a good recipe to win.
Watch out for, I almost called him Darren Sproles. Watch out for Deuce Vaughn. I think that if Deuce gets an opportunity, he's going to surprise a lot of people at the NFL level. And he is still part of that roster.
I hope so, man. I hope so. I was pretty excited when the Cowboys drafted him. He was a sixth round pick. You usually don't get worked up at all about guys who go that late. But just watching him in high school and then watching him in college for a few years, it's like that guy's going to work. He's got the heart that it takes. It's just, can he find a way to make stuff happen on the field despite the size? But yeah, if he's Darren Sproles, obviously that'd be massive. All right, on to round three. So that's it. So just 2 second round picks for the Cowboys in this mock draft. Round three, we've got three Longhorns going. Jatavion Sanders, pick 69 overall, very nice, to the LA Chargers of Anaheim.
Hate to see the amount that JT has lost with how he's tested over the last month plus now. This is right around where I think both he and Tavondre Sweat end up going, early to middle part of that third round. But look, I know the test scores aren't great, but the eyeball test, watching him perform at tight end over these last couple of years, it does seem like he's going to be a really good option for Justin Herbert or whoever that quarterback is throwing him the football from the tight end position. I know he's not the best blocker necessarily. He's a willing blocker a lot of the time, though. But more importantly, he's a dynamic threat catching the football from that tight end spot. And he's a matchup nightmare for opposing defenses, too. You either go big with somebody who's likely going to be outrun by JT Sanders, or you go a little bit smaller and he's got a freakish size advantage on safety or nickel or maybe sometimes a cornerback.
Yeah, it looks like JT Sanders is still the second tight end off the board, but I'm with you. I think his stock has fallen a little bit, and the combine was not great, and the pro day was really not great for Sanders. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, he was a matchup nightmare in college, but there are big dudes who can run 4.6, 9.40s in the NFL. So I'm starting to lose faith in Jatavion Sanders being as much of an impact player as I would like him to be.
So you're right about that, but I think that number was misleading. For some reason, he did not run like he's capable of at Texas Pro Day. He is faster than that, and I think he'll prove that at the next level.
Yeah, it does look like his play speed is faster than his combine speed, and some guys have that. I don't know. Like, red zone threat over the middle of the field, yes, but yards after catch guy in the league, like he was at times at Texas. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen.
It's a combination of speed and also having a high IQ for understanding how to get to that open space also. Both those things will come into the play at the next level.
Yeah, hate to see Sanders in round three, but that's where he's at right now. And it's just a pretty weak tight end class overall. There's a massive gap between Brock Bowers, who could go in the top 10, and everybody else there.
As a matter of fact, this draft does have him going 10 to the New York Jets. So
there you go.
Aaron Rodgers is going to have another fun toy to play with.
Oh, man, if he can stay on the field for more than two plays.
The injury thing was only an issue for him this last season, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been pretty healthy for the majority of his career. Bucky keeps saying he doesn't think Rodgers is going to play ever again. Like, bold.
Yeah, I mean, look, he wasn't quite ready to go at the end of last season, but he was further along than you typically see guys who suffer a torn Achilles like that and have to get that surgery. I mean, modern science is doing wonders and helping guys to come back from even major injuries. So he'll play again. I mean, will he likely have lost another half step at least, not just because of his age, but because of the Achilles thing? Sure, but maybe he won't need that extra half step. We'll see. I do think that he plays again this next year. Whether or not he can lead the Jets to a Super Bowl title or even Super Bowl appearance is a completely different storyline, though. So I'm still not thinking that the Jets will be a legit Super Bowl contender next year, but we shall see.
It's the Jets. I never think they're going to be a legit Super Bowl contender any year.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he plays too, but Buck has been going on that even before Aaron Rodgers announced that he might be running for vice president of the United States. And the whole
thank God that didn't happen, because, boy, RFK Jr.
Are we put that to bed? Is that completely killed at this point?
Yeah, he officially announced his running mate this morning, I believe. It may have been yesterday morning. It is, I forget her name. It's a woman from the West Coast. I think she has an attorney's background and has been a consumer advocate. I think specifically as it pertains to the pharmaceutical companies doing the public wrong. So, yeah, best of luck with that one. I know nothing about her. Better option than Aaron Rodgers, though. Going to go out on that limb.
Kim Kardashian or something?
Not Kim Kardashian. That would be a worse option.
Yeah, lawyer ties with her dad?
Yeah, she does have lawyers. She is 6 degrees of Kevin Lawyer with her dad, Robert Kardashian.
Classic game to play, 6 degrees of Kevin Lawyer. I think that's a good one. All right, a couple more here. Jalen Ford, 81 to Seattle. That feels early. I would love that. If Jalen Ford goes on day two, then great. Good for him. But I feel like he's more of a day three guy, no?
I'd be shocked if either of these next two guys ends up in day two. And this is maybe where Matt Miller's Longhorn bias comes in. But, hey, yeah, that would be great. I would love that for Jalen Ford if he were to get selected in the third round and to go to a franchise like the Seahawks, who are now very defense-oriented, too, just based on their offseason coaching hire and replacing Pete Carroll.
They've drafted and signed a bunch of Longhorns over the years, and they've had a lot of success doing that recently, too. So, yeah, I mean, Matt Miller says this is a little early for Ford based on feedback from NFL teams. That's how he starts his description. So even he's admitting that he might be reaching a little bit here, but you'll see that in the draft from time to time. Then 84 overall, Christian Jones to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And some folks curious if Jones is going to be a guard or a tackle at the next level. Of course, he was the right tackle at Texas these last few years. Matt Miller says he thinks Christian Jones is good enough to be a plug-and-play starter at right tackle.
Bothers me so much when a guy shows the ability to do a good job at the tackle position, but everybody writes him off and says, no, he's a guard or a center at the next level. You at least give him that opportunity initially. I think as a tackle, Christian Jones is going to be above average to good as an NFL player. So let him start at tackle. I completely agree with Matt Miller here. Even if he ends up at guard, you at least let him try what is his most natural position in the beginning.
Sure. And look, if Pittsburgh's taking him in the third round, they expect him to play too, right away. You don't draft guys that high if you think, this guy could be just a sixth offensive lineman, a backup player, whatever. Like, when you're drafting in the top 100 picks, you're hoping to get a guy who can make an impact for your team right away. So, yeah, if Pittsburgh or any team does end up taking Christian Jones in round three, I don't think there's any chance he goes higher than that, then, yeah, the expectation is he's going to start right away. And I would think it's a tackle because I feel like it would take him a little bit of time to learn how to play guard. Like, maybe he did some cross-training at Texas, so he's got some guard experience, but it's a big shift going from tackle where you're used to playing to guard or vice versa. So if a team does end up taking Jones at that spot, then, yeah, I do think it's right tackle. And, well, Pittsburgh, he gets to block for Russell Wilson, the Danger Witch, and Justin Fields. Who's the quarterback, like, in week 8 in Pittsburgh?
Oh, gosh. Week 8? It's got to be Justin Fields by then.
You think by that point Russ has lost it? He's cooked?
Yeah, but maybe the Steelers don't want to give up that fourth-round draft pick. I think it's worth it if you find a guy who can help you win games. But maybe they're waiting until week 9 to ensure that he's playing less than 50% of the snaps. But I think by week 8 we will get the Justin Fields show.
Is that the rule, or that's the compensation?
It's more than 50% of snaps.
Okay.
Then it turns from a sixth rounder into a fourth rounder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll wait it out, too. And once the Steelers are out of the playoff race, which they're never out of the playoff race, that's going to make it tough. I can already see that happening, where Pittsburgh is, like, right around 500 and Russ is playing okay. But a lot of the fans are like, let's see Justin Fields. Maybe he's better than okay. And the Steelers are going to be like, nah, we got to stick with Russ because we're kind of in the mix for a wild card. It's a mess. That one kind of feels like if you have two quarterbacks, you have none situation in Pittsburgh. But I give them, like, it's better than what they could have done. It's better than Kenny Pickett and Trubisky and Rudolph and the other cats that they've had. Yeah. They couldn't draft anybody because they don't have a high enough pick and there were no real other options that they could have gone with. So
I'll give them credit for trying. They did about as well as they could have possibly done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, you know, I don't think either of those guys are getting you close to a Super Bowl considering how many good quarterbacks there are in the AFC right now. All right. There's the Matt Miller mock. Anything else you want to hit from that, Trey?
Nah, we can maybe look at it later today and early tomorrow. And if there's something else that jumps out, great. They do have J.J. McCarthy going in the top five, I guess, which I'm still having a hard time buying that. I mean, this is one of those situations where things start to get a little bit silly a month away from the draft, but we shall see. Maybe somebody has been convinced by the talking heads and Jim Harbaugh that McCarthy is the best quarterback prospect in this year's draft.
I'll tell you what, J.J. McCarthy is the best agent of all time. Absolutely insane just how much praise this dude is getting. I mean, I saw a report, and it is silly season after all, but a report that said the Commanders at 2 want to take J.J. McCarthy. So I don't think there's any chance Chicago, feels like Chicago set on Caleb Williams, right? But I don't, like, could he go number 2? Could he go ahead of May and Daniels? That apparently is being spitballed right now. So, yeah, this mock has him going 4th, but yeah, a team trading up to take him 4th, and he would be the 4th of the 4 quarterbacks. Matt Miller's mock has QB1, QB2, QB3, QB4, which would be insane if that's what ends up happening. But yeah, McCarthy, his agent is working overtime to get him all the pub that he's been getting. All right, before we get to where we at in society, how about a quick word from our buddy Tom McKay over at Audiovisual Consultations.
Hi, this is Tom McKay with Audiovisual Consultations. Today's home electronics can be a bit daunting. My company has spent the last 36 years making sure they are not. For those of you who have not experienced our services yet, we'd like to invite you to give us a try for all your home electronics needs. We carry all the major brands of televisions and stereo equipment at prices you can't find in stores. And we come to you. There's no need to leave your home to find great pricing and incomparable service. No traffic and experienced sales geeks or pushy showroom tactics. We believe in having some fun and dreaming big. You have a dream for your home entertainment? Let us know. We can make it come true. And we are always there to help after the job is done. We cultivate clients for a lifetime by treating everyone like their family. No, not those family members. I'm talking about the ones you actually like. So relax, hug your kids, make love to your wife, and smile. Then, when you have a moment, give us a call at 255-8678. That's 512-255-8678. Or online at avconsultations.com.
Oh, yeah. Some love to Altstadt beer as well. The best beer that you can find in the world. They've got a bunch of different brews. Something for every beer drinker out there. Baseball opening day is tomorrow. The tournament returns tomorrow. You're going to be watching sports, which means you need a great beer to drink while you're watching sports. Make that Altstadt easy to find. HEB Specs, Twin Liquors, 34 Wine and Spirits, wherever you buy your beer, you can find Altstadt. Going to be playing hooky from work to watch the sports. Make sure you're asking your bartenders, waitresses, waiters, servers, whoever for Altstadt beer. You've been through a lot this week. You've been through a lot this year. You've been through a lot this life. Reward yourself with Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets. Trey, how do you want to handle pest wranglers today, my friend?
I'll do the live version today for pest wranglers, pest wranglers, pest wranglers. I'm taking care of pest problems here in Central Texas going all the way back to 2006 with the motto, effective, reliable, affordable. They also excel at customer service. And now is a great time to reach out to pest wranglers because things are warming up, which means that we are on the verge of mosquito season. Pest wranglers will make sure that mosquitoes are never a problem around your home. They do so with an eco-friendly treatment that doesn't target bees or butterflies and is non-toxic to birds and mammals. It's effective for up to a month, kills mosquitoes that transmit all sorts of deadly diseases, and is scientifically backed. A ton of great research on this. This stuff is so effective. It's been used in Africa for malaria control. Now, if you're needing something that acts a little bit faster, maybe you have a backyard party in the next couple of weekends, they do offer more of a conventional mist treatment for that fast knockdown. It's a one-time treatment that's good for up to 21 days. No horrible odors for either treatment. Both tend to come in at under $100 per month. And because they do believe that their customer service is top-notch, you don't have to sign a contract. Go to pestwranglers.com to find out more info and to get yourself on the schedule with Pest Wranglers, a proud sponsor of.
Where are we at in society today?
It's right. It is your regular look at stories that show we as a people are headed in the wrong direction. Very occasionally, I will bring you a story that provides a sense of optimism and has us all saying to ourselves, hey, maybe we as a people are starting to figure something out. But sadly, today is not that day. Where did my headline go? Ah, there we go. Headline!
Headline!
Little Rascals trio, ages 11, 12, and 16, arrested for robbing a Houston bank.
Oh.
Three boys, aged 11, 12, and 16, and dubbed the Little Rascals, have been arrested for robbing a bank in Houston, according to authorities. The Harris County Sheriff, Ed Gonzalez, said the youngsters are in custody and have been charged with robbery by threat. Gonzalez said that because of their ages, no additional info will be released. The sheriff's office didn't immediately respond to a request for more information. The FBI's Houston office says that they were wanted for robbing a Wells Fargo bank in the Greens Point area of North Houston on March 14th. The FBI posted an image of the trio on X, showing all three of them wearing hoodies inside the bank's lobby. A message left with the FBI seeking additional information wasn't immediately returned. The ABC affiliate in Houston reported that the boys passed a threatening note to a teller before fleeing on foot with an undisclosed amount of cash. The station also reported that the parents of two of the boys identified them after their photos were released, while a third boy was recognized by law enforcement officers following a fight. So these kids are in a world of trouble now, thanks in part to their parents saying, no, this is pretty fucked up. You're going to have to answer for this one, kids.
11, 12, and 17?
Yep.
Wow. And did they have a gun? Did you say that?
16, excuse me. No gun. They just slid a note to the teller that said, give us all your money or else.
And at that point, the teller has to give them the money. Like, I would look and see two middle schoolers and be like, okay, what do you have in mind? What's the or else? I would love to see this.
Maybe you're neglecting to think about an alternative here, that the 16-year-old may have been just dressed like himself, but the 11 and 12-year-old, if they hadn't hit their growth spurt just yet, maybe they went with the old school cartoon costume where one is on the other's shoulders, to where it looks like this hulking 7-foot figure. Yeah, the voice is a little bit weird, but this person is so tall, they've got the fake beard on that looks like a real beard. So they've got this long ZZ Top beard, a top hat, and maybe one of them is pointing their finger through the jacket pocket to look like they've got a gun to boot.
Yeah, one of them's through the jacket pocket. The other one's through like the pants pocket. So you get the whole Michael Scott thing going on there too, down low. Then it's extra scary. Yeah, I like
Ike
that.
Ike says, go figure Greens Point. I don't know what Greens Point is. So what does that mean?
You're asking me?
Yeah, or Ike. I know you know Houston a little bit better than I do.
Oh, it's a suburb of Houston.
It's a ghetto?
Yeah, I think. I don't know enough about it, though, to confirm nor deny. Based on Ike's comment, I guess that's what we're going with here.
Completely agreed, Michael. Glad the parents turned them in. Yep. Go ahead. Right. Nope, I'm not talking.
You just did. Okay, what's the movie Little Rascals about? Isn't that a movie?
It is, it's about these kids that go around robbing banks in the 1920s, right?
I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. I thought Little Rascals was like an endearing, like cartoonish movie. Are we being too nice to these kids by giving them this nickname?
Yeah, it does have a cartoonish, like comedy feel to it. Ah, Cooter says Greens Point is also known as Guns Point. Okay, that helps me figure it out.
I think I had a buddy get held up at gunpoint there one time.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, so it lives up to the name.
Now that Cooter makes that comment, I'm like, going back to that story my friend told me a couple of years ago, and I'm like, oh, shit, no, maybe that's the same place. Interesting. So what, any word on the punishment for these guys? They've just been turned in. That's all we have to this point. Like, if you do an adult crime, should you serve adult time, or are these kids going to get the easy way out because none of them are adults yet?
I think that they will go to juvie court, 16-year-old included, and probably get a pretty harsh punishment. But assuming that they can stay on the straight and narrow after this, the charge will eventually be expunged, or it can get expunged when they become adults.
That's man, I wonder where these kids got these ideas.
Like, good description here.
Think
DJ.
About Robin Little, Bank.
Little Rascals are the Three Stooges of bastard kids.
That's what they are?
Yeah.
It's a movie or a TV show?
It was a TV show. Okay. They may have done some movies too, but it was a TV show. It's been remade as a movie in more modern times.
Mm. Little Rascals. Yeah, I don't think I was thinking about robbing banks at any of those ages. I'm not sure I've thought about it at this age either, but impressive for them to come up with that sort of plan. Not impressive because they didn't get away with it. You got to do a better job coming up with a better plan. But no surprise that like three kids couldn't come up with some sort of Ocean's 11 style bank heist at the Wells Fargo in Greenspoint.
Kids are so fucking stupid.
Your kids are almost 11, or at least one of them is. You need to worry about this now?
No, she'd come up with a better plan too.
You're not worried. You know, she might be robbing the bank, but you're not worried about her getting caught. She'd have a better idea to get that money out.
See, whether or not she would have a better plan. Whether or not I turn her in would have to do with how impressed I am with the plan. Mm. Like, nobody else recognized her. It's like, wow, this was very creative by you. I got to give you creative points here. Therefore, I'm not calling the cops on you, Viv. Congratulations.
And would you hide her? If the cops come up, would you just like, I haven't seen her since. Don't know where she is.
I would make sure. Oh, boy, I've got to be careful about how I say this so it doesn't sound weirder than it would be. I would make her in the scenario that we talked about previously. I would just require her and Calvin to use the trench coat bit to where she has Calvin on her shoulders. So she is the lower person in that two person totem pole.
Nice.
That would help her to hide out while also allowing Calvin to go to school, having experienced a 4+ foot growth spurt.
Mm, that's good. I like that right there. Man. Yeah, I guess the 16-year-old was around, so they had a driver, right? Like it was just an 11 or 12-year-old. Those were the two friends, and then they needed someone to drive the getaway car, so they went and got somebody of age who could actually get away from the bank.
I mean, I feel like if you're going two-person totem pole, that gives you the advantage of being able to drive also if you need to. You're going to be tall enough at that point.
It's true. I've never seen that sitting down, though, right? I feel like all those trench coat bits where it's guys standing on top of other guys' shoulders involves standing up. I'm not quite sure how that process works sitting down against a car seat.
True. Oh, I bet Spanky's your favorite little rascal, DJ.
Is that the name of one of them?
It's one of the little rascals, yeah.
Spanky,
Alfalfa. Alfalfa is one of them.
Alfalfa? Isn't that a sprout or something?
It is. It's also a character in Little Rascals.
What is bean sprouts? Is that what that is?
Alfalfa sprouts? No, bean sprouts and alfalfa sprouts are different.
Shit.
Alfalfa is a type of grass. Bean sprouts are the sprouts of bean.
Hmm. Okay. Any word what the third rascal guy is?
What third rascal guy?
Is there three rascals or only two rascals?
Yeah, I feel like there's like fucking 15 little rascals from the old television show. Let me look it up real quick.
Oh, God. I don't know anything about this.
Little Rascals.
This is, I wonder if there's a team of these guys all over the city or all over the state, all over the country, just robbing banks at that age.
Our gang is what it was called. They were the Little Rascals. That's the name of the gang. And the characters, God damn it. Can you give me the characters Wikipedia? Here we go. Okay, so there were different eras. There was a silent period, Little Rascals that we're going to ignore. And then there was the sound period. There's Chubby, great name. Butch, Jane, Echo. Oh, this is where Buckwheat came from. That's right. Alfalfa. Ooh. Stymie, Breezy, Porky, a lot of fat kids in the Little Rascals, Waldo, Spanky, and Froggy.
Froggy?
Yeah.
They had a frog, like someone's pet came to work that day?
No, he sounded like he had a frog in his voice, though.
He sounded like this, but more like a little kid than I can sound like.
Oh, my God. No Fatso as one of them?
Not that I can see. Just a chubby.
He's fat.
A Porky and, an Obesimo. Obesimo.
That's not one.
Yes, it is. It was a later character.
How late? Like March 27th, 2024 at 1:05 p.m. created by a radio host late?
No.
That's fantastic. I just saw a picture of these three jabronis.
Oh,
you got it.
Can you pull it up?
Like, you got to wear masks, dude. The one guy doesn't even have the hood on his hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
This is...
They do have it does look like they have the pantyhose mask on. And the guy's wearing a wig, I think.
Okay. Yeah, it does look a little wig. It looks like Prince hair almost, the guy on the right.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, you gotta do a little better job covering up than that. Because then if you're that size, it's like, oh, is this a little person or is this a little kid? You don't know. Maybe it adds some mystery, makes the cops have to work a little harder to find you. But if you're this clear as day with who you are, then you got no shot. Den of Thieves.
By the way, for those wondering about the silent era Little Rascal names, Bone Dust, Scooter, Weezer, Pineapple, Sunshine Sammy. Holy shit. This is incredible.
They didn't talk. They just did stuff and didn't talk. One of those like old school cartoons.
Sing Boy, Mango.
Sing Boy.
Farina.
Too many.
Elmer. Pete the Pup.
Pete the Pup. They had a dog and a frog. Y'all have any idea? You guys familiar with the Little Rascals, Chip and Zay?
I know who they are. Yeah, Buckwheat. Alfalfa, Spanky, Darla.
Yeah. Was Spanky the brother with the top hat?
Yeah.
Yeah, Spanky was the guy who was on Pornhub all the time.
Oh, come on. Come on. Did they bring Pornhub back? I haven't checked yet.
I thought that was the rascal part of him. That's just what he was doing. Everyone did their own sort of weird, against the rules kind of thing. And Spanky was the guy who had his own spank bank with him everywhere he went.
CB asks if Eddie Gaedel was a little rascal. Yeah, he was Spanky, wasn't he?
That's definitely not the brother, man.
There's
a brother with the top hat. And you're right, BK. They all had their roles.
Yeah, Buckwheat. Buckwheat wore the top hat from time to time.
No, Buckwheat didn't wear the top hat. Buckwheat had the nappy-ass hair. That's what he was for. They made him look disheveled. I don't know why. They made him look real disheveled. Like, just no home training or anything like that. Like, come on now. And I don't think the top hat brother talked much.
Was he one of the silent characters?
I don't know. I got to go back and watch it.
Do you?
Yeah. That's a classic.
I don't even know what era this is.
I mean, they remade it.
Okay.
In 94, around there, 95. That was probably when they remade it. And that's the version that I'm familiar with. But, yeah. The old school version, not so much.
But yeah, I don't know if I have much interest in this.
1955.
55?
Yeah. No, it was much older than that.
Older than that?
Yes, it started in 1922.
It's like when Bucky was a kid?
Yeah, and then the initial run of the show came to an end in 1944, coinciding with World War II.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, the Silent series.
Yeah, but like Buckwheat first came onto the scene. I didn't know we'd do it.
He definitely wasn't in the 20s.
I didn't know we'd do a
Silent series was in 22.
Ain't no way Buckwheat was having a good life in the Little Rascals in the 20s. I'm sorry. Unless if they got my man picking cotton or something. I don't know if he fit.
Buckwheat joins the gang in the 34-35 season.
Wow. Billy
Thomas is who played Buckwheat.
What'd they have him doing? Does it say that? Like, what was his role?
He
can't be great.
He was Stymie's replacement, a character named Stymie.
Okay. Because y'all are familiar with Sonny in Philadelphia. They probably had him doing Charlie work. Back in the 30s, they probably had him doing Charlie work. Just the grimiest, slimiest things that nobody else wanted to do. Come on now.
In the bathrooms, killing the rats, huffing the paint. Oh my God. This is awesome. All right, guys. What's on tap for y'all today?
We got Stretch coming on at 1:15 to talk about Dak Prescott, baby.
Mm.
As Dak turns.
What a mess. What a mess.
Jerry's all right. Finally making the right decision 3-4 years too late.
He's doing it in such a clunky manner, though. It's glorious to watch as a non-Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Jera.
The worst.
True Jera fashion.
Goodness. All right, gentlemen. Y'all have a great show and a great day. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Appreciate it.
Peace. Y'all.